Tigers High Flying Birds and Black Star Dancing for Louise and the Doves, sorry, Prince and When Doves Cry for Annie and Rob on Feel Good Friday. It's a 8:15. Just seeing the pictures on the TV of the massive jams at UK container ports, and the BBC reports this morning Simon Taylor had been planning to stockpile wine before the end of the month just in case prices rise when the UK stops trading under EU rules. Have you been stockpiling wine?
Not yet, no.
I've got quite a little collection going. The wine merchant says he can't now do so, as many firms have the same idea. Hawleys are booked up, leaving him with no way to get it back to the UK before the 31st of December. Just had to drink it all over in Calais, won't he? The wine chain Majestic, for example, has 2 million more bottles of wine in stock than it did this time last year to guard against possible disruption. And Mr. Taylor, who owns Stone Vine and Son, said, "I can't get the wine out of Spain or Italy before the shutters come down on the 31st of December." Huge volumes of wine are being shipped out of Europe. This is about potentially saving a huge amount of money. There are fears that if a trade deal can't be reached, the cost of goods imported from the EU will rise, and that will mean pricier wine. Well, they'll just have to go for the Kentish Sparkling, won't they? Which is actually quite pricey itself. Talks about a possible UK-EU trade deal remains an impasse. On Thursday, Boris Johnson said there was a strong possibility of a no-trade deal with the EU. We shall see. We're burning the candles late into the night in Brussels between now and Sunday. Time for Sarah, who's going to pop the question.
This year, 1971, was marked by the introduction of decimal currency. BBC Open University broadcasts began. The seventh James Bond film was released, Diamonds Are Forever. And Arsenal won the FA Cup final with a 2-1 win over Liverpool at Wembley Stadium on May the 8th.
Charlie George scored the winner, didn't he?
Exactly.
He lay down on the grass afterwards and only put the top of the cup on his head.
On this day, however, in 1971, Benny Hill was at number one in the UK singles chart.
Bernie.
With which song?
He drove the fastest milk float in the West.
Correct. Question number two. Former Beatles member George Harrison had the best-selling single of 1971 with which track?
My Sweet Lord.
And finally, on the 22nd of September, Chesney Hawkes, English singer-songwriter, was born. Can you tell me the name of his best-known single released in 1991?
No.
The song was written by Nick Kershaw. I did the promotions for it.
Don't know.
One and only.
Doesn't even ring a bell.
I thought the Chesney Hawkes birds.
Hawkes, boom, boom, very good. 8:24. Annalise would like to hear the House Martins and Caravan of Love. The news is next.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning from the heart of the European Union.
Good morning from the island nation that is the UK, separate and sovereign.
Friday's amongst us, best day of the week, only 3 Fridays to go till Brexit.
It's going to be a long, long weekend, I think. Not a long weekend, as in a relaxing, enjoyable weekend.
Yes. We'll deal with the Brexit story in a minute, but look at the markets yesterday. Well, actually, Brexit is casting a bit of a shadow over markets. Chances of a new stimulus package in the US receding before the end of the year. Mixed bag on Wall Street, but London closed up.
Yeah, a little bit mixed, it has to be said. S&P 500 posted back-to-back losses, certainly nothing dramatic, and actually recovered from the session lows. NASDAQ rebounded. I mean, there's mixed messages coming out of Washington. It has said US Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, House Speaker Pelosi actually last night cited progress towards an agreement. Still looking unlikely, one would suggest, before the end of this year. The euro rose yesterday after the European Central Bank escalated efforts to try and shield the region from a double-dip recession, extending its bond buying programme by 9 months and €500 billion, but warned they may not use all of its new ammunition. Stock 600 in Europe was down 0.4%, S&P 500 was down just 0.13%, NASDAQ was actually up 0.5%. Yesterday's big winner, Airbnb share price, more than doubled on its first day of trading. In fact, it's up 115%, giving the company a valuation of $100 billion. Quite remarkable for a company with revenue probably around about $5 billion that's never made a profit. Opening calls on the European bourses this morning, a little bit to the downside. Currently calling FTSE down 16 points. DAX over in Frankfurt down 80 points. CAC 40 in Paris off 18 points.
Why does Boris Johnson keep referring to the hardest of hard WTO Brexits as an Australia-style deal?
I think it sounds a little bit better than a no-deal Brexit, to be honest with you. And I certainly agree with you. You know, it's not the correct comparison, quite frankly. Australia's relationship with the European Union is covered by a number of individual agreements, somewhere around a dozen agreements, particularly focused, of course, around things like agriculture. But you can't compare the UK's relationship with the European Union in the same way as Australia, because, you know, it's simply not the same level of interaction. The UK is obviously much closer to the European Union, accounts for something like 44% of our exports. It only accounts for a small part of Australian exports. But also, the supply chain isn't important to Australia from the European Union in the same way it is to the UK. And that disruption is also what is likely to harm the UK economy. So the reality is, if we were indeed to move towards the Australian option, it would still see the UK fall back on WTO rules, still face tariffs and quotas starting from the 1st of January.
But the honest truth is, even the Canada-style deal that's been trumpeted by Mr Johnson and his allies, I mean, even that wouldn't be suitable for the UK's requirements, especially in terms of exports.
Yeah, very true, very true. And we've only been talking about goods. We should remember the UK economy is primarily driven by services, and it's important eventually that the UK can continue to export that services to the European Union. So, listen, a deal apparently hanging in the balance. We know that they continue to clash over some of these old issues, and if we haven't solved it in over 4 years, is it going to happen in less than 4 days? So deal looking perhaps a little bit more elusive, and European officials, of course, openly talking about contingency plans now that would keep planes in the air, hauliers on the road, and allow European fishing fleets into UK waters. Sunday could prove indeed to be that true make or break deadline date after so many have come and gone.
Yes, I mean, that sounds like a bit of an extension to me. Obviously, not for everything, but as far as key sort of transportation measures go, there's an awful lot of spin going on both sides, but are you still expecting a deal at the end of the day? I mean, the euro is climbs, you know, it's 1 euro 9.5 cents, so the pound has lost a cent against the euro overnight.
That's been the true reflection, of course, of markets' anxiety over the potential for a deal, and it's certainly weakened during the course of the past few days as markets have reacted to the pessimism coming through from not only Number 10, but also from European leaders as well. The question is, I suppose, can Boris Johnson use some of that famous charm to go to his counterparts in France and Germany and try to get this deal over the line in a way that he wants? But he said many times before he believes that sovereignty is a price worth paying for a no-deal Brexit, or indeed an Australian no-deal Brexit. So, I say, hangs by a balance. So we have to wait and see how those negotiations play out. Again, I remind you, for international investors, it's not actually the most important thing on the agenda.
Yeah, so quite a few reports circulating this morning that Boris Johnson's so-called charm went down like a lead balloon with Ursula von der Leyen on Thursday night, and apparently tried some of his hilarious one-liners, which were met with a stony silence.
I can well imagine they're different in terms of their style and in terms of their approach. So you can
some style and he hasn't got any.
Well, I wouldn't like to say that. So you can imagine it was somewhat of a clash of cultures there.
Okay, well, the EU will certainly be relieved that they've got their budgets wrangling sorted out.
Yeah, Brexit actually wasn't apparently top of the agenda when it at the European summit. Actually, much more focused for European leaders around the budget and the stimulus package. And they resolved a standoff with two member states that threatened to delay the implementation of this historic multi-trillion euro budget and stimulus package. The deal was agreed with Hungary and Poland, who had protested against tying funding to rules of law. The agreement paves the way for the EU to put into effect a seven-year budget, the 750 billion euro pandemic relief package, which should, I'll remind you, is based on mutualized debt for the first time, which has seen a significant progress in terms of the broader European project. The deal, I think, still needs to be accepted, ratified by the European Parliament.
Well, never mind Brexit. I mean, happy days are here again because the UK banks are starting to pay dividends again. I can't wait for my Barclays loot to turn up in my account.
I knew that cheer up. UK banks can restart paying dividends after the regulator, Prudential Regulation Authority, judged that an extension of the exceptional and precautionary action taken in March is not necessary. Regulators have carried out two stress tests of the bank's capital positions and judged they are resilient to a wide range of economic outcomes, including including economic outcomes that are materially more severe than the current expectations. The update helped the FTSE 350 banking sector index erase some of the early losses generated by the fears of the impact that a no-deal Brexit could have on the UK economy.
See, I've kept the faith of the Barclays all these years, through the financial crisis, through
Blue
these
Army.
Hard times.
Blue Army, fantastic.
We're talking about Chelsea
it.
Now.
We know you're with us. That's important.
All right, foreign exchanges, please, Hank.
Pound against the dollar coming in at 1.33. Euro dollar coming in at 1.21. Going to get a mere 1 euro, 9.5 cents to your British pound this morning. Dramatic weekend ahead of us.
Okay, thank you very much, TCFN.
Have a good day.
Talk to you on Monday, Hank Potts and Barclays. It's
on FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Leister has the top stories across the Riviera.
The six-week national lockdown in France is to be lifted on December the 15th and replaced by a curfew from 8pm to 6am, including New Year's Eve. The move announced by French Prime Minister Jean Castex on Thursday will allow families to travel to celebrate Christmas, but museums, theatres and cinemas will remain closed. During the press conference, Castex said that while the health situation had considerably improved, with the number of new infections falling from nearly 50,000 a day in late October to around 10,000, it's still too early to let down our guard. Thursday saw 14,000 new cases of COVID-19 identified, compared to 12,000 a week earlier. The total death toll in France since the beginning of the pandemic stands at over 55,000. In other news, according to an IFOP poll, the mayor of Nice, Christian Estrosi, comes first for his dealing with the health crisis, economic recovery, public security and action towards climate change. The poll ranked the action of elected officials throughout France. The mayor of Nice was placed ahead of the mayor of Paris, Anne Hidalgo, and Martine Oubre, the mayor of Lille. Meanwhile, on Thursday, Christian Estrosi called for a carbon tax on international transport. Speaking at the Zero Carbon Forum, he said that the problem of heavy goods vehicles is major and that we cannot allow cars to be reduced and at the same time continue with the situation regarding heavy goods vehicles. He said that Nice wishes to be more autonomous in terms of energy. France has fined Google 100 million euros for breaking the country's rules on online advertising trackers known as cookies. It is the largest fine ever issued by the French data privacy watchdog, the CNIL. US retail giant Amazon was also fined 35 million euros for breaking the rules. The tech giants have been given 3 months to change the information banners displayed on their websites. If they do not comply, they will be fined a further 100,000 euros per day until the changes are made. France's truffle season is set to begin officially this Saturday, December the 12th. Markets are allowed to open with health precautions in place. Truffles have come through particularly early this year due to the high levels of humidity following the drought and the heat over the summer. The season will last from Saturday the 12th of December until March the 7th, 2021. And finally, the magazine 60 Millions de Consommateurs has published a survey which evaluated 160 cosmetic products with regard to their impact on health. The survey showed that only about 50 have proven to be satisfactory. All others contain potentially dangerous substances. The Consumer Defence Association advises customers to scrutinise the list of ingredients, whether the product is organic or not, particularly for lipsticks which may contain aluminium. The 50 products rated healthy and safe by the magazine are in all price ranges, which means safe and affordable cosmetics can be produced. The Consumer magazine therefore calls on manufacturers to put more effort into the composition of their products.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Football, the good nights for the English teams playing in the Europa League last night. It's good for Rangers as well. Celtic won and Nice lost, but they were already out. Here's more from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Paul Serres at the BBC Sports Centre. There were wins for all three Premier League clubs in the final round of matches in the group stage of the Europa League. Arsenal made it 6 wins from 6, beating Irish side Dundalk 4-2 to top their group. Spurs ensured they finished top of Group J with a home victory over Belgian side Antwerp, while Leicester City will also be seeded for Monday's draw. The Foxes beat AEK Athens 2-0 to finish the group ahead of Portuguese side Braga. Back in the Premier League, and West Ham can move up to fifth with a win at newly promoted Leeds United on Friday. West Ham manager David Moyes says he's looking forward to the match and taking on a team he admires.
Yeah, I think they've been very good, Leeds. I think we've all been watching them closely for the last year or two now. I always thought that Leeds coming back to the Premier League would add to the Premier League, and that's certainly been the case this year. I think they've been involved in some great games. I think their style is terrific to watch. I think there's a lot to like about it. I think they've got an incredibly experienced manager, and he's certainly helping the group of players there.
Meanwhile, on Saturday, Chelsea have the chance to return to the top of the league if they win against Everton at Goodison Park. Chelsea boss Frank Lampard will be taking on Carlo Ancelotti, who managed him as a player at Chelsea. The hosts have struggled to break into the top six in recent seasons, but Lampard says they should still be respected.
I just think that's the Premier League and it's the nature of it. And they started very well. They've got quality players. I think they had quality players anyway. They brought in quality players. They have a fantastic manager, one of the best in the world. And this Premier League, unfortunately, is unforgiving. I know they've had a few injuries. But we all have our own moments or patches where it's results are challenging, but it doesn't change my thoughts about how I approach playing against Everton. I think they're a very, very good side with great individuals within a really good collective that can win games.
Everton are looking to record their third consecutive home win in the league for the first time since 2012. And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Yes, Rangers secured a seeded place in Monday's draw after beating Lech Poznan 2-0. Celtic, who were already out, beat Lille 3-2, and Nice, who were also out, lost 1-0 at Hapoel Beersheba. So in the English Premier League this weekend, we've already had a bit of a preview from the BBC, but let's just do our predictions. Tonight, Leeds against West Ham.
Well, they'll be looking to make an amends after losing against Chelsea, so I'm going to go for Leeds.
No, West Ham for me. I think Leeds are having a bit of a wobble. Saturday, Wolves against Aston Villa.
Oh, well, Wolves after what? With Liverpool, they got thrashed, didn't they? I'll go for a draw there.
Never know with Aston Villa, do you? I'll go for Villa, just to be nice to the Villa fans. Newcastle against West Brom.
Newcastle.
It's going to be Newcastle, yeah. Manchester United against Manchester City.
I'll go for a draw.
Sitting on the fence. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Sissy for me. And Everton against Chelsea.
I'll go for a draw there as well.
Brilliant. Chelsea for me. Sunday, Southampton plays Sheffield United.
Southampton.
Yeah, Sheffield United rock bottom, can't win for the love of money at the moment. Crystal Palace against Spurs.
I'll go for Spurs.
I'm going to go for a cheeky draw there. Don't know why. Just in the hope that Chelsea manage to stay top this weekend and they beat Everton. Fulham against Liverpool.
Well, one would hope Liverpool.
It's got to be Liverpool, really. Arsenal against Burnley.
Arsenal.
You just don't know with Arsenal, do you? They've been a hopeless run in the league, but doing well in the Europa League. Yes, I think so. And Leicester against Brighton.
Leicester.
Got to be Leicester. Formula One, Lewis Hamilton will compete in the season finale in Abu Dhabi this weekend after testing negative for COVID-19. The seven-time world champion has been self-isolating in Bahrain and missed last weekend's Sakhir Grand Prix after contracting the virus. The 35-year-old arrived in Abu Dhabi on Thursday and will play a full pass on the weekend. First practice at 10 a.m. this morning, second practice at 2 p.m, qualifying at 2 p.m. tomorrow, and the race at 2:10 on Sunday. Cricket, it's day one of the second test between New Zealand and West Indies in Wellington. In fact, it's stumps now. West Indies won the toss and decided to field again. And at stumps, New Zealand's 294 for 6, so just about even Stevens there. Rugby Union, the revamped European Champions Cup, gets underway this weekend with two pools of 12, but not every team will play each other. Teams have been placed in tiers based on their domestic league position last season, and the pool stage fixture list is made up of four matches, home and away, against two other teams. Tonight's Northampton play Bordeaux Beg in pool 1, and Ulster host Toulouse in pool 2. There are 10 more games over the weekend. And in boxing, Anthony Joshua says he's not giving any thoughts to Tyson Fury as he prepares to defend his world heavyweight belts against Kubrat Pulev in London tomorrow night. Though the boxing world is abuzz with the mouthwatering prospects of a heavyweight unification fight next year. But Joshua says he has to get past Pulev first. Around 1,000 fans will be allowed to attend the fight at Wembley Arena, with radio commentary available from the BBC, but television coverage on pay-per-view only. Here's the marine weather forecast for coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Al Maracim in the Var. The general situation is a depression, 1,003 millibars over Sardinia. Winds are variable, force 1 to 3. The sea is calm. Visibility is good. Pouring showers. Barometric pressure at Saint Jean Cap Ferrat, 1,004 millibars. Then the outlook for Saturday, partially cloudy, force 2 to 4, variable winds, slight seas, and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are variable, force 2 to 4, the sea is slight, visibility is good, barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,003 millibars, and the outlook for Saturday, partially cloudy, force 3 to 5, northerly winds, slight seas, and good visibility.
Riviera Radio, weather.
Not clouding over, they say, with rain for most of the day, light variable winds, top temperature 11 degrees, overnight low 7 degrees, with 5 degrees inland with cloudy skies, the weekend mainly fine, highs of 12 or 13 degrees, finally.
Finally, number plates. Apparently, this year, well, Sam and Dan are the most in-demand personalised registrations in the UK. Britons buy a private plate every minute in 2020, despite a massive decline in new car sales. In total, nearly 370,000 personalised registrations have been purchased this year. And Sam and Dan were revealed to be the most popular names searched by customers. With the festive period approaching, the DVLA is currently seeing one registration sold every minute. The reason customers display a personalised registration vary from promoting their business to showing their support for their football team. However, the most popular searches are car owners' names. Ben, Tom and Amy join Sam and Dan in the top five most common search terms so far this year. The only non-names included in the top 10 were BMW and Boss.
You could have a Sarah one.
I could have. There's a Bowie one, isn't there?
Yes, in Monaco.
I like that.
It's a nice car as well.
Very nice car.
Because I thought it was actually him, because I saw it a few years ago. I thought, oh, is that, surely. I said, it doesn't come to Monaco often, does he? But who? Well, it must be a big David Bowie fan.
Who is it?
Come on, own up.
We want to ride.